for your place.
Welcome to Resettled Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more,
as we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities
and bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
Hello, Kehara. Salam alaikum. Konjono salam no. Welcome to Resident Radio, brought to you live by ARCC on Planet FM. I'm your host for the day, Ganwakshul, and I will be taking care of you in 1 hour show live from the studio. Yes, if you have just tuned in, you are listening to Resident Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. And I'm your host for the day, Galwakshul, and I will be taking you through 1 hour program. Today we tune in. We come live every Saturday, this time from Auckland. This is Resident Radio Live. Today we are talking about the currency, the money. I do not know how many of you have been made aware when the European countries declared a single currency. Now we will be talking about single currency. A single currency, let's go back to January 1st, 1999. January 1st, 1999 is a year when the Euro countries, they call it the Eurozone, the Euro countries formed a single currency called Euro. So the Euro, the 28 countries were not all members of the Euro, but at least I think 19, and then later some of them joined. So that's how Euro is made up of. It's made up of so many countries within the Eurozone, and so it became a single currency from 1999, in the 1st of January 1999. So coming to the today topic, we are talking about yet again, the single currency. Excuse me, single currency. I do not know how many of you are aware of Africa. Today we are talking about single currency in Africa, and I will take you all the way to West Africa. So if you are a good geography guy, so that would be easier for you to understand. Okay. Now in West Africa, there's an organization called ECOWAS. ECOWAS, E-C-O-W-A-S, ECOWAS. ECOWAS stands for Economic Community of West Africa. Economic Community of West Africa. Each country in Africa, whatever region it is, it has a community or a block name for that economy. So the ECOWAS is for the West Africans. And then we have EAC. EAC stands for East African Communities. So it's economic block for the East African Communities, which used to be six countries, member states, which include Sudan, Ethiopia, Eritrea, Rwanda, Uganda, Tanzania, and some other countries. But later on, Eritrea was kicked out of East African Community, and South Sudan was born and it was admitted. And so this is how things played in East Africa. The same thing to Southern African countries, including South Africa and Lesotho, Swaziland, Mozambique. You know, they have their own SADC, which is economic block for the South African countries. The same thing to the Great Lakes region, including Angola and other countries like Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo, and other countries in the Great Lakes region, they have their own. So now we are talking about the ECOWAS Economic Commission of West African States. Last week, Saturday last week, I mean, not last week, yesterday. Yesterday there was a summit, a West African summit, ECOWAS summit in Abuja, Nigeria. All the leaders of those countries in West Africa had a summit in Nigeria, in Abuja, Nigeria, and came out with a single currency. Those countries in West Africa came out with to have a single currency that would make it easier for the trade. And I will tell you who are those countries and what is the name of the currency. So the ECOWAS, ECOWAS, Economic Commission of West African States. So the new currency came out from ECO. Instead of ECOWAS, it became ECO. That's Economic Commission. Economic Community of West Africa. So they took the three alphabets, ECO, ECO. So ECO is the name of the new currency now being passed in the Abuja summit yesterday. So now, who are the members states that endorse ECO to be a single currency? And what is the idea of single currency? This is not the first time for West African countries to have a single currency. Not to have a single currency, but to have a call for a single currency. It has been going on. I don't know how many of you have been remembering the late Libyan leader, Muhammad Gaddafi. Muhammad Gaddafi called for a single currency for the whole African continent. For those who are not aware, Africa has now 54 independent countries. Each country has its own currency, economic policies, and everything else. So this was a call made by late Muhammad Gaddafi of Libya. And now the West African formed their own single currency. Now, I told you before that we will go into details as to how many countries now accepts to have a single currency by the name ECO. Now, ECO is endorsed by 15 member states. So these 15 member states include those countries which are member states of ECOWAS already. And so these are the people who are using CFA francs, those colonies of France that are using the France. There's a French name for CFA. I don't know what it is in French, but it's Colonies France d'Afrique, which means translated into English as Community of Africa. That's what it is. That's the name of the currency they have been using. And this currency, CFA franc, is a currency endorsed by European Union. It has a support of euro, and it has the support of those countries that use franc. Even if they are not in Africa, elsewhere in the world they support franc. So that's why franc is very strong in Africa. So franc, CFA franc, which CFA, I already said, it stands for Colonies Françaises d'Afrique. Excuse me for that because I don't speak French, but I'm trying my best here. The franc countries that use a franc in Africa, in West Africa, are eight countries. This includes Benin, Burkina Faso, Guinea-Bissau, Ivory Coast, Mali, Niger, Senegal, and Togo, and other countries, including Cape Verde. So these are the countries that have been using franc already in West Africa. So these eight countries now have supported the new currency, ECO. So let's not get confused here. There are two currencies already. There's a franc, the CFA franc, which is already in operation in West Africa and has been a currency of eight countries. It has eight member states. And we have the new currency endorsed by 15 by 15 countries. So yesterday in that meeting, the summit hosted in Abuja, Nigeria, endorsed the single currency to be used. And according to the agreement or the communique, they say the currency will be launched in 2020, the next year. So which month is going to be launched, no one knows. It's not even told, but that's what it is. It will be launched next year, and people have agreed about it. Later on, we will find a way if there are any reactions as to how it will affect the trade and how people of those countries, the communities of those countries, have reacted to the new call for a single currency. So the countries, out of six countries now, which have been member of the old franc, they say they will put the ECO in use before it is launched in 2020. So which are those countries? So Nigeria is one of them, Liberia is one of them, Ghana is one of them, and other countries. So six of them is only three that have been named: Nigeria, Liberia, and Ghana. So they say they will swap their currencies into ECO, the new currency, without waiting for the launch in 2020. So this means that a lot of people now are happy. They think this will make the trade very easy because people are copying, seeing the way how Euro has helped the Eurozone, the European countries, because you come from one country to another in Europe. Of those member states of Euro, you don't have to have, like, you know, a struggle to change money when you get to that country, the same currency, same economic value, and the same everything there, and will make things easier. This is how people take it here. And we will talk deep into understanding how things will work there, and how people receive the new currency, the call for the new currency. In 2020, that will be new currency in West Africa. And not only one country that will be involving it, but 15 member states in West Africa, including the big economies like Nigeria. And this is what we will be talking about when we come back. And I'm now playing to you Kopi Kopi Kabamba, one of the Congolese best-known musicians. His name is Awilo Logomba.
Moi, non, lui.
Je m'appelle Coupé Coupé.
qui bomba.
Non, l'autre. Préparez-vous, car les bonnes choses ne durent jamais. Attention, le top des top revient en colère. Bombe de la mafouke au Chile. Bombe de la mafouke au Chile.
Welcome back. If you have just tuned in, you are listening to Rosario Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. And this is Galuaxual. I'm your host for this 1 hour show, live from Planet FM. And we have been talking about the new currency that has been just announced by the countries of West African member states of ECOWAS. And the name of the new currency is ECO, driven from ECOWAS. ECOWAS is ECOWAS. ECOWAS means Economic Community of West African States. And so they have taken the first three letters, ECO, ECO. ECO is the new name now for the new currency that's going to be launched. 15 countries met in Abuja, Nigeria, yesterday, and then they announced. It was there earlier than that, but the summit just confirmed the new currency to be used by the West African states. So those countries have been using franc, the French currency. And these are the countries that have been colonized by France a long time ago. And now they say they want to have economic freedom, that they want to break the bond, and they want to be on their own without any French currency being used, because according to them, they say it has been imposed on them during the colonial time. And who are those countries that have come up with the new currency called ECO? 15 member states have now confirmed that they will be part of this new currency. And out of these 15, because the currency will be launched next year in 2020, and these 15, out of 6 of these 15 countries have come out that they will implement the use of ECO even before it's launched next year. So they will implement it. When are they going to implement it? They have not said it, but they will implement it before next year. It can be any time from this month to next month, the following month, and months to come. They have not put a timeline. But who are those countries? I know 6. Out of 6, I know 3 countries. These countries are Nigeria, Liberia, and Ghana. All of these are West African countries. And don't be confused. There are other franc users in the rest of the Africa. And we already know that the West Africans that use franc are Benin, Burkina Faso, the Ivory Coast, the Guinea-Bissau, Mali, Niger, Senegal, and Togo, and the rest, because there are 15 countries that have been using franc. And franc also is used in other countries out of within Africa. Other countries within Africa, but not West Africa. We have those countries that use franc are Cameroon, the Central African Republic, the Republic of the Congo, the DRC or DR Congo, and Gabon and Equatorial Guinea and Chad. You know, it's a kind of a mix. People have been wondering why they want to break away from the France franc. And the reason that have been circulating is that they want to have economic sovereignty within the countries of West Africa. But that has not been the case. The case is they think, those countries that have come together, they think the colonization mindset is still following them. And so the France has put them in a situation where they are not free in the trade or in the things they want to decide on their own economic agenda. I will read you a statement that was put out by Al Jazeera. I pulled it out from Al Jazeera website today, and it states, the CFA franc limits monetary sovereignty. France guarantees the value of the CFA franc, and in return, the countries that use it are required to keep 50% of their foreign exchange reserves within the French treasury. This is why they want to break away from CFA franc, because the French government is requiring those countries that are the franc users to keep to have a 50% of their foreign exchange reserves with the French to be left with the French treasury. This is like, okay, this is what you're going to give me, do this. And I think this is what is happening. I have no a lot of ideas, but this is what has been put out there on the Al Jazeera website. And I think that's the cause why all those countries came together and said they want to have a unit, a currency that is good for those countries, for the 15 countries. Well, in any situation, whenever you have a new currency, there are advantages and disadvantages. You will remember when European Union had the euro, and a lot of countries were struggling. And also when the UK, the United Kingdom, the Brexit, when they pull out, so the pound went into got a tough time, you know, in the market, because the market changed. Whatever happens to the currency, or you pull out from the group or economic group, things will not be the same as usual. There was a lot of things that happened on euro, and a lot of things that happened on the pound, the British pound. Euro was not affected because it was consolidated on by the nations that comprise the euro in eurozone. But the Brexit affects the use of British pound in the market. They export things in a ship way, but when they buy in the market, so the purchasing power is very high. And this is what has been said by them all this along. So in any case, there are advantages and disadvantages of having a new currency. We have seen in Europe, like I said before, euro, go to eurozone, so you don't have to lose in interest rates and when you are going from one country to another, because it's the same currency. And now with the new currency in West Africa, the ECO, we are not sure what would be the disadvantage, but there are, in any situation, there are disadvantages and advantages. I want to play you a clip here, a clip of about, I don't know how many minutes, but maybe about 10 minutes. You know, pro and cons of the new currency. This is what they are talking about. Is by TV Nigeria, and let me play it, and let's see what would be the response.
Yes, good afternoon, Kenneth. So we're looking at regional integration in Africa. We're listening to the two stories I mentioned earlier. We're seeing that the operational phase of the FTA is coming on board later this week when all the presidents head to Niamey for the AU summit. And also at the ECOWAS level, at our block, we're seeing the ECO being adopted, and we're hearing plans that it might come on board early next year. What do you think these developments mean for regional integration in Africa?
Well, I think it's very necessary. Let's take a look at the headline numbers. Only 17% of our trade in Africa is intra-Africa. If we compare that to Europe, the European Union, 70% of their trade is inter-European. And in the Asian trading bloc, 60% of their trade is intra-Asian. And the European value of their trade is close to 8 trillion euros. So that's pretty significant. So I think this whole union of getting this African Union together has a potential of about close to 3 trillion in trade within the continent. And I think that we should begin to look to see how we can exploit it. And these are steps in the right direction. The African Continental Free Trade Agreement, the operational modalities would begin. They will release those guidelines by their meeting next week in Niamey, where all the trade finance ministers. And you can see that even at the ECOWAS level, where we've had tremendous success. And we're even looking to extend that union now to the final stage, which is normally the monetary union. And like you said, this echo currency has been on the pipeline for a while, and they're looking to start it by next year. But as you know, we all can get ECOWAS passports. We've done so many things that is very successful across that trade barrier. And I think we should try and replicate that on a continental basis.
All right. Now, so we're seeing this, the operational phase coming on board. But then let's look at the outsiders, you know, countries we know, Nigeria, Eritrea, and Benin are still on the sidelines of this. We've seen other countries have ratified, about 22 countries have already ratified, and some others in different stages of getting this done. But for the outsiders, though, you know, what would you say is the cost to benefits? Or when you look at, would you say, comparing the negatives to the positives, would you say the juice is what they squeeze for these countries to join?
Well, by the time 52 out of 55 countries have signed off, then the other three, the other countries holding up, including Nigeria, you are beginning to see that even in Nigeria, we had there was a committee that was set up by the presidency, which gave its report to the president about a week ago, that recommended us going ahead with the agreement after consultation with all the various stakeholders. But again, saying that there should be certain conditions that should be attached to that, which is very good. But my own argument has always been that if Nigeria, that is the largest economy in Africa, should be at the forefront of driving this whole process. So all the concerns we have, we'll ensure that, and all the concerns we have, will ensure that those concerns are addressed if you're leading that drive. But at least there's a positive signal now from the leadership in this country that they will at least associate with that agreement. So it's a step in the right direction.
All right, because I look at other issues there. The president also mentioned something that I think is actually quite significant, and we should think about that in the longer term. He mentioned the fact that we need a continental manufacturing agenda for Africa if this is going to be as successful as we want it to be. I would like to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah, it's very important. I mean, the whole essence of having a lot of our trade being inter-African is that what is the competitive advantage of Nigeria, for instance? We should be able to process crude oil into products and to be able to supply the whole of Africa with our petroleum products. We have a West African gas pipeline that has already gone all the way to Ghana, which is quite successful. We should be able to take that pipeline all the way to Senegal on the western side, and on the eastern side, we should be able to take it through Cameroon into the Central African region. So then there are lots of potential. We could even take our pipelines all the way to North Africa. So the potential for African value-added, African manufacturing is very important, so that we reduce our dependence of importation of finished goods from Europe and Asia. And as you can see, they are already manufacturing and trading within their own bloc quite effectively.
All right, then. Very interesting what Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire are doing with cocoa. We're seeing that they're negotiating with international buyers, trying to set a floor price for this. You think it's the way to go for African countries when we look up at how we export some of it, some of the commodities we're trying to export out of Africa? You think we should go that route with most of the other commodities?
Definitely. Historically, even from the medieval times and even through slave trade and the modern trading era, what has been the problem of Africa, even especially when we used to have a lot of gold and exchange gold with the rest of the world, is the fact that our terms of trade have really not been quite favorable. So what Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire are doing is the fact that they want to see value added to their products. So we should, as a continent, stop exporting raw materials and let these companies begin to set up value-added processing plants here, so that we're processing either shea nut into shea butter, or we're processing cocoa butter, and at least we're adding some value onto the product before it's been shipped out.
All right, now let's look at some of the outstanding issues on this AfCFTA still, because we know that it's still not all, you know, some I's needs to be dotted and some T's still needs to be crossed for this to come to full effect. One area which I think it's also very important is the certifying the origin of goods, in there. Understand how much this is, how important it is, because it's seen as the backbone to any free trade agreement. I would like to hear your thoughts on how you think this
is very important, because you see, one of the problems a lot of people are afraid of is the fact that the European Union never got a new trade deal with ECOWAS after the Lomé Treaty. And what the big problem with that is the fact that some issues about exporting finished goods from Europe into Africa or into West Africa, including Nigeria. And people are saying that we also need to protect our manufacturing base so that the origin of those goods must be Africa. So it's not as if you're using another country, the EU is using another country to transship its product, and then maybe they're just adding a bit of value there, and they're now calling it made in Africa goods. Because what will happen when you have that trade agreement is that it's only made in Africa goods that can enter freely. But the fear is that most of these trading blocks that are more powerful in Asia and Europe should not come to use certain vulnerable African countries as a backdoor to bring their products into the continent. And I think that is really what we want to avoid. And, you know, once we see the operational modalities and the guidelines, I think we'll now begin to fine-tune this and ensure that this does not happen. But the positivities are beginning to be there. The EU, for instance, has offered a 45 billion euro grant to support the African Continental Free Trade Agreement because it's such an important market to them that they want to ensure that in terms of the capacity building and a lot of the issues, they can facilitate that trade. By the time you're offering those sort of grants, obviously you want to ensure that the terms of trade will favor trade between Europe and Africa.
But then I still like to talk about the issue of, around smuggling and well, put it under the larger context of corruption. You know, when you look at how this is, you think we are going to see enough to tackle, to hold back on smuggling and some of the issues that, you know, have to do with impacting trade in Africa?
Well, what is important is that you must remove bureaucracy and you must be quite efficient. As you see with ECOWAS, most of the trade that is going on in ECOWAS, at least close to 80% or 85% of that trade, is not formal trade. Because the paperwork for all the barriers are too cumbersome. So people find their way of, you know, trucking their goods across and, you know, they do their negotiations at the border and move along. So you must streamline these sort of institutions to ensure that the terms of trade are favorable. If the terms of trade are favorable, the duties are reasonable, then of course, you know, the goods will move freely. So we need to be able to strengthen our institutions. As you can see with the problem with Britain trying to enter, exit Europe, is the fact that the key problem there is the customs union. You know, then if they go with a hard Brexit, then they're going to have to set up custom barriers between England and the rest of Europe. So these are the things that we need to look at. We need to avoid it. And if the terms of trade are favorable, then there's no need for you to smuggle because you can bring in your goods, you can pay your basic duty and get things going. So I think we need to strengthen our institutions to be able to support this process, and that will come over time.
All right, now let's go into the single currency for ECOWAS now and look at how the 15 member states have, the stages that have gone far. We've seen this has been a long time coming.
Yes.
But do you think that we've done quite enough to see that this is going to be operational as early as January 2020?
Well, with all these things, you need to be able to start. Acceptance is something that is not something that comes overnight. Don't forget that the Francophone countries already have their own single currency market, which they have the central bank across the CFA within West Africa. They already are in a single currency block. So we're quite lucky with that because you're now dealing with other countries in their currencies like Ghana, Nigeria, and the rest of them that have independent currencies. And of course, a currency is something that people attach a lot to sovereignty. So it's not very easy for people to give up their currency. So I think to start with, I think the ECO will work side by side with all the other currencies for a while to come, eventually before it begins to gain acceptance. So it's like if you're going to Ghana, then maybe you just, you know, change a few ECOs with you and then take it with you and use it. But it's not something that probably you might use on a day-to-day basis, still while retaining the Naira. So, but it's still a step in the right direction for us to have reached this stage in Africa, in ECOWAS, that we're talking about now a monetary union. So that shows you how successful this trading bloc called ECOWAS has been.
Yeah, because when you look at the Monetary Union, I understand there's already a West African Monetary Union already.
Oh, yes.
But that looks after just the Francophone West African countries.
Exactly.
So it's more or less extending that to include Nigeria and the likes of countries who are in the Anglophone side. Mm. But then another issue on this is the issue around identification. Mm. And we all know about, when you look at financial services, they talk about access to finances, lack of proper identification is one of the major reasons for people not getting access to finance and being recorded in the formal economy. Mm. We understand that a large number of Africans are still excluded from the formal financial systems. When you look at how we're going to get this identification going into play, I want to understand if you see any challenges going on.
Because technology, fortunately, has helped up financial inclusion, the use of mobile money, and of course, what the disruptive technology of like the G5 technology coming on. Africa has adopted G4 technology in a lot of their cellular networks. So I think these sort of disruptive technologies can help significantly. Most banks have digital banking platforms, and Nigerian banks actually dominate the scene across West Africa. And, you also have an ECOWAS bank, which is a bank that was built around ECOWAS, which is available in all the ECOWAS countries and has served as a very good clearinghouse for all these processes. So most Nigerian banks are all over the place in West Africa, and these banks help with the inclusion and, of course, the settlement of trade.
Welcome back. Welcome to Reserve Radio, brought to you live by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. And you have been hearing the views of the people, the reactions about the single currency announced yesterday in West Africa, in Abuja, Nigeria. And this guy is an economic advisor with one of the big banks there, and he's talking about what would be the issues, and he highlighted some issues here, and we will go over these issues and the positive side of it and the negatives and what can come along and what is expected, from the nations that have endorsed the new single currency. And I would like us to come back and discuss about some of the points he talked about. But let's go for a break, and I play to you Bob Marley. I'm waiting in vain for you. Stay tuned and don't go away. Thank you for listening.
NAFTA, we have the South African group. South America group. We have Europe. In terms of integration, Europe is number one in the world, because 80% of the business within the European Union is among members.
From the very first time I placed my eyes on you, girl, my heart says follow through. I know how to do my thing.
In vain for your love, and that's the legend of all legends, Bob Marley, is the artist and ever the champion of reggae. Welcome back. Welcome to Rasa Radio, brought to you live by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6, and we have been talking about the new thing that has just come up from West Africa, that they announced to have a single currency in West Africa. 15 countries have agreed to have a new currency unit. And so we have been talking about the pros and the cons and the possibilities, the advantages, disadvantages, what would be the impact in the community and on the trade and everything. So what I know so far about these new currencies, I remember in Sudan changed currency many times. It used to be pound, and then they changed it to dinar, and then they went back to pound. And when each time there's a change to the currency, it's a lot of a struggle, because there are people in the remote areas, and the farmers would because they give timeline. Within timeline, if you don't bring your money, so they will have no use. There will be no value to your money. And remember this thing from economic, when they say time value of money. The money you have now is more important than the money you will have in the future, because you can invest the money you have now. That's what it is. And those who do not have the accessibility to the banks, because not everybody has an access to the banks in where I grew up. So the money you have, it becomes useless, because you have passed the timeline they have given you within the time frame. So you have to submit your money to the bank, and then they change the money to the new currency. So this rings a bell to me when they announce that there will be a single currency in West Africa. 15 countries that will have one currency. So it's something of a concern, and for the big businesses, for the banks, it's a great news. For the nation, it's a great news. But for the farmers, they have a lot of cash up to do. Okay, so the TV Nigeria talked about the possibilities, the advantages, disadvantages, and some issues. So one of the issues that came up is the trade balance. There's no trade balance in Africa, but let's say the countries, the member states of ECOWAS, where this new currency emerges. And the guy was talking about 17% of the trade only 17% entered into Africa. Now it makes it an African issue. Only 17% of the goods that comes to Africa makes up of 17%. While in Europe, it's not balanced when you compare it with Africa, because 70%, not 17, but 70% of goods enter into a euro. So I know there are a lot of issues there in the trade and everything, the tariffs, you know, the tax and the VA, value-added taxes and everything else. But so the trade is not balanced. The new currency now is giving a belief that there will be a trade within those countries and within Africa, and things will be cheaper to bring them goods produced within Africa sold to Africans. And this is the idea behind it. But there are a lot of fears out there too, because the big elephant in that room is Nigeria. Nigeria, there's a fear that Nigeria might dominate the new currency eco, because Nigeria is the biggest oil producer in Africa, and it's a big economy, and it's a giant. There are some fears within some countries that Nigeria might dominate the trade there, you know. But people, all in all, believe that this trade this new currency will facilitate trade, you know, lower the transaction costs and facilitate payments, you know, within the ECOWAS member states. Yeah. And I want to take you back to the figures here. The ECOWAS has 385 million people, because Nigeria by itself, Nigeria alone has over 100 million. And so the whole 15 countries that make up ECOWAS now, that belongs to the new currency, it's a population of 385 million people. So if you do the math, it's a lot of trade competition right there. And so all these 385 million think having one currency is good, because even already in ECOWAS, they have a single passport. So you can go to the ECOWAS member state using the ECOWAS passport, no visa required, so which is good. It makes trade really very efficient out there, and the war is that the region, the biggest economy in the region, which is Nigeria, might dominate the economy, just like what we discussed before, you know, might dominate the monetary policy. I know the guy already said Nigeria has studied the process and give recommendations to the president, and they see that this is a good thing. And, you know, there's a dialogue going on. If you want to join the new currency, I think there are criteria there, what you can do. I think you need to have a good economic progress. And I do not know actually what are the criteria there in order to join one of those countries. So now, it's a big topic, and we will catch up next time. And this brings to the end of our program for today. And if you live within Auckland, there's a Congolese Independence Day today. It's a lot of good music there, food and everything. So it's a lot of people will be coming there. So please, if you have time, you can come at New Lynn Community Center, and it starts at 5, and it will until midnight. So it's a lot of fun. So you will not be bored. Please bring a friend and come over. It's free. Interest is free. You will not be charged. Until next time, we will be talking about another topic, or we can follow up from that. From here in the studio, I will leave you with the music from Ethiopia. Bye-bye.
Chelsea Bella, Magdalena, what a change.